mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads I follow all the way. Where he leads I follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus has shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He the great example is and pattern. Follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow Jesus every day. List to his loving word, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow.
See this number out this morning, and good to have some visiting with us, and we're so delighted that you've come our way. Good to have Joyce Stillwell's family with us from down in Tampa. We attend East Bay, where my father has been attending this winter, as he's down there for the winter months, and he's talked about how friendly of a congregation they are, and we appreciate their being up our way. Good to have Rick Carroll's son and daughter-in-law with us, and soon to be grandchild, and we want to be praying for them, and good to have others visiting with us this morning. One of the thrilling things about life is when you see somebody make what we might call a great comeback. As a sports fan, I've watched as my team has been down many points, and I thought there's no way they'll ever come back. And what a thrill it is to watch your team when they come out, perhaps in the second half, and make what you might call a great comeback. Maybe down 20 points or more, and you watch them. And as the game comes to an end, you say, what a comeback. Or perhaps you see a man who is in the financial business, and he loses everything he has. And you recognize that he is an honest and hardworking man. And your heart goes out to him, perhaps because of a recession or a depression, that he's lost all of his wealth. And then you find that that man continues to work diligently, and that man is a hard worker, and he makes a comeback, and he regains his wealth, and you'll say, what a great comeback. But when you study the Bible, the Word of God, it's one thing that I find very interesting. Though I do not believe God is particularly interested in athletics, or in all of our finances, though he cares for us, I believe that you can call the God of heaven the God of the comeback. Now that might surprise some people because some people believe that one never falls away from God. Yet if you take your Bible this morning and turn to the Galatian letter and the 5th chapter, you'll find that doctrine is wrong. That one individual can be right with God, and one then can decide to go away from God. And in his decision to go away from God, fall from the grace of God. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, he said, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. He said, you have attempted to be justified by going back to the law of Moses, and in seeking justification from Moses, have fallen from grace. You're now estranged from Christ, and you are now separated from Christ, and thus what you need is a comeback. And so the doctrine that one cannot fall from grace is a false doctrine to begin with. One can begin to walk with God and then turn their back on God, and thus they need to come back to God. And what a joy it is to know that the God of heaven is the God of the comeback. That the God of heaven seeks individuals that will come back. Now, others will argue that once you fall, you can't come back. That perhaps you've committed a sin so great and so terrible that God would not receive you back. But I beg to differ with that view. I care not what the sin may be, whatever it is in days gone by, that if one truly repents of that sin, and if one truly seeks for God's forgiveness, then one can turn from their sin and turn to God. There is always going to be a turning, either a turning away from God or a turning to God. And so if an individual commits some great iniquity, I want you to understand whatever that sin may be, if one seeks God's forgiveness and one truly repents, that the God of heaven is the God of the comeback. I want us to look at several examples where you'll find people in the Bible that made a great comeback. That at one time they walked with God, and then they may have failed the God of heaven. And yet instead of quitting and giving up and continuing in sin, they made what you might call a great comeback. If you take your Bible and look with me in the book of Judges and the 16th chapter, you'll find a man identified as Samson. And you remember that man had been blessed. His father Manoah had prayed that he would be given a son, and God gave him a son, and he said, "You shall name him Samson." And that man had defeated the Philistines time and time again. In the days of the Judges, when they had no one to oversee them as a king, but God was to be their ruler, the people of Israel did a terrible thing. They began to do what was right in their own eyes instead of doing what God had declared. And many times they would fall in iniquity, and God would allow them to be taken captive, or God would allow the enemies to come in and overthrow them. And time again, the Philistines would come in, and you would find they would overtake the people of God. But Samson was a judge in that day, and Samson had been given power endued by God, great strength. He was what you might call a mighty man of God, a man with great strength that was given by the divine God of heaven. And you'll find time and time again where he killed many of the Philistines to ease the relief of the people of God. But in your Bible, in the book of Judges and the 16th chapter, you'll find where he's deceived into telling where his strength came from. You remember the Philistines went to Delilah and they told Delilah, find where it is that he gets his power. And you remember that he said that if a razor came upon my head, I would lose my strength. Really, it wasn't just the hair, my friend. The hair represented what God's covenant was. And when his hair was cut, God left him. And thus you find Samson in Judges 16 losing his strength. And you find that they bind Samson and they put out his eyes and they make him grind like a donkey. Then in the book of Judges and the 16th chapter, they get a lad to lead him up to their place where they worship. And they're going to make sport of Samson. They're going to laugh at Samson. And they called for him and they brought him and a lad led him. Can you imagine they're trying to humiliate Samson, having this young boy lead Samson into their temple? And when they get into the temple, Samson asked the lad one question. He said, can you put me between two pillars? Notice that was what he says in verse 26. Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, "Let me fill the pillars with support in the temple so that I can lean upon them." And have you ever thought of what Samson did? In your Bible, in the book of Judges, in the 16th chapter, Samson called to the Lord in verse 28, saying, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this so one time, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two miller pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on the left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and on the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. Have you ever thought of the comeback of Samson? That here was a man who had been separated from God, violated the will of God. And here a young man leads him into the temple. I wondered about that young man. Did he look up at Samson and remember all the great exploits he had done? And now he's brought into the temple to be made sport of, to be made fun of. And he said, "Put me between the two pillars." And there that man made a beautiful prayer to God. You know what that man was doing? Making a comeback. He had recognized his sin. He realized his violation of the covenant with God. And he prayed unto God that God would give him the strength one more time. And you know how I know that man was made right with God? If you turn in your Bible to the Hebrew letter and the 11th chapter, you'll find in about verse 32, he's mentioned as one of the great heroes of faith. You know what that man did? He made a comeback. He had left the Lord, but then he recognized his failing, he recognized his sin, and he remembered that the God of heaven is a God of new beginnings, that the God of heaven is the God of second chances. And he prayed out to God, "Give me the strength." He went to the God of the comeback. But then if you take your Bible, I would ask that you turn with me to 2 Samuel and the 11th chapter. And when you come to 2 Samuel and the 11th chapter, you'll find a man identified as David. David was a man who, like Saul or a Samson, had done great exploits. He had killed Goliath the giant. He had been a mighty man of valor. He had been in battles against the enemies of God. He had led the people of God into combat. He was a man of courage and bravery. And yet in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, after he had risen to the position of king, you'll find where he falls from the grace of God. What does the man do? He looks out and sees Bathsheba bathing. And he calls for her, and he commits the sin of adultery. Then after she calls and says that she's with child, he sends for her husband Uriah the Hittite, who was in his army, and says, "Come back to Jerusalem and report to me what's going on in the battle." And then he gets the man drunk, hoping that Uriah would go and lie with his wife, and he would not know that it was David who had been the one to bring birth or to give make her impregnated with child. But he wouldn't go. So what does David do? He sends him back. And he tells Joab, the commander of the army, "Put him at the front of the battle and withdraw the troops and let the enemy kill him." Have you ever thought that David had committed a great sin? David had lied. David had committed adultery. David had committed murder. David had tried to cover it up. Here was a man who had fallen from grace. Here is a man who had turned his back on God. Here was a man that was in violation of the will of God. And when I think of David and I think of the sin of David, I think about that man and I remember what happens in Psalm 51, where David prayed that prayer of repentance, where David went to God and he told God, "Oh, blot out my sins, cleanse me from my iniquities, wash me from my transgressions." He said, "Create in me a new heart, O God, for I have sinned against you." Have you ever thought that David repented of his sin and David made a comeback? Can I tell you this morning, with the love of God in my heart, One of the greatest things you'll find in man is that when he sees and recognizes his sin, is to have courage and bravery to admit he was wrong. It is a coward who will never admit he's wrong. But a man of courage will recognize his sin. A man of courage and bravery will say, I was wrong. And he'll get up and make the proper correction. David, what did you do? David made a comeback. David went back to the Lord. David repented of his sin. David begged and pleaded that God would restore unto him the joy of his salvation. Now, I'm sure it never left his mind that he'd committed the sin of adultery. And I'm sure it never left his mind that he'd had a man put to death. But he also understood that God had blotted out that sin. And if you read your Bible in the book of Acts, you remember in the 8th chapter, there's a great statement made about David. Or Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, look at what the Bible says. In verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. David, did you fall? Yes. David, did you sin? Yes. David, would you have been lost had you died in that condition? Yes. What did you do, David? I went to God. Why? He is the God of the comeback. He is the God of the second chances. He is the God of new beginnings. He is the God who is merciful and will forgive when a man truly seeks repentance. But that brought up another thought in my study. And I began to think about a third man in my Bible in the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter. I thought a man by the name of Peter. I thought about a man who denied the Lord not just one time, but three times. And I thought about a man who said, I do not know the man. I thought about Peter who said that he was not a disciple when he truly was. And I thought, here is a man who denied the Lord. Would that man be able to be forgiven? Yes. But what did he have to do? He had to come back to God. He had to admit he was a sinner. He had to admit he had failed God. He had to admit he had transgressed God's law. He had to admit that he had fallen short of God. And that man came back and said, God, please forgive me. He wept bitter tears of repentance. He wept tears to let people know that he had violated God's law. And then in Acts chapter 2, you see that same man who at one time showed cowardice, showed bravery and courage when he stood up and preached the first gospel sermon. You know what God is? God is the God of the comeback. God is the God of second chances. And here was a man that was able to get up after his sin and able to put it behind him and able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then I thought about another. In your Bible, in the book of Luke, in the 15th chapter, and time will only permit this to be our last example. Have you ever thought about the prodigal son? There was a young man that went into the far country and lived a life of filth in the mire of sin. And that young man came to himself, and that young man came back. How many times have I looked at the prodigal son and thought about here as a young man that taught... But learn that the God of heaven is the God of the comeback. Though his older brother didn't want him to come back, that young man recognized his need. And that young man came back and said, I have sinned. Have you ever thought about the young man who had transgressed his father's will, lived in the mire and muck of sin, and then recognized that he could come back to God? Oh, I'm thankful that when I read my Bible, that the Bible teaches that the God of heaven is the God of the comeback. I want to take that. I want to make application to our life and the lessons yours. The first thing I want us to remember is we must never forget God's grace. We must never forget that the God of heaven seeks men and women to come to Him. There are people in this very auditorium who've never even come to Him for the first time. They've never come with a broken, contrite heart that they've violated His sin law, that they've sinned against Him. They've never been baptized for the remission of sins. And I can't think of a better time than in this new year to become a new person. You know what happens when you're baptized into Christ? The old man is put to death. You're raised up to walk in newness of life. You have a new life. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, you're a new creature. You have a new purpose. The God of heaven is a God of new beginnings. And there are people in this auditorium that in 2017 need to get their life right with God. Because I'll tell you, my beloved friend, you may not see a 2018. Oh, I'm sure it's on the mind of all of us. Oh, well, I'll make it through another year. But I'll tell you, my friend, we had some that we began 2016 with we don't have with us today. And it doesn't matter whether you be young, middle-aged, or aged. God has made a call for you to come. And I'll tell you, my beloved friend, now's the time to accept the call. I've been mocked for preaching that. But I'll tell you what, my friend. You don't mock it when you face God. And I want to ask you this morning, with all the love and humility in my heart, what keeps an individual from coming to God? What has this old world got on you? What has the devil persuaded you with that makes you think that living in sin is the only way to live? Do you think that if you continue in an ungodly relationship for a little bit longer and be baptized later, that that'll make it right? I'll tell you no, my friend. Now is the time to have a new beginning. Today is the day of salvation, as Paul declared, as he quotes the Old Testament. Never forget God's grace, but never forget God's patience is limited. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says that God is not slack concerning His promise. What promise? That His Son will come again, but He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But then secondly, I need to see that there is no sin so great that I can't come back. Though it's possible to fall once I become a child of God, I can come back to God. And He is the God of the comeback. It would be wonderful this morning if some people would come back to God with the zeal they're supposed to have. You know, it's one thing to be here Sunday morning. It's another thing to be here Sunday night. It's another thing to be here Wednesday night. But it's another thing to live for God day in and day out and be zealous and be on fire for God. You want to know why a lot of churches are dying on the vine? Because members do not show any zeal. They don't show love for Christ. He's not their first love. They don't show thanksgiving to God that He has forgiven them of their sin. I'll tell you, of all people who should be thankful, it should be people who recognize the grace of God and to recognize He is the God of the comeback. How many times have you had to come back to Him? How many times have you failed? And yet, there He is, willing to forgive if I truly repent of my sin. If I truly come with broken heart and with broken heart come before Him and say, Father, I have sinned. How many of you have prayed in this new year that you'll be a better servant for God? Now let me guess. Some of you like me, you've made your New Year's resolutions. You're going to lose weight. How many of you done that? We're going to start losing weight, and then we're all going to do that. And some of us said, well, in the new year, I'm going to be better with money. And some of us said here in the new year, we're going to exercise more. And some of us in the new year have made resolution to might be a little nicer to our husband or to our wife. I want to know how many of you have resolved to pray more, to study more, to know God more. I'll tell you something. Wednesday night, I'm supposed to speak at Kemper Heights in Nashville on the second coming. And as I've been making preparation for that lesson, I was reading a statement about the 10 virgins. And it said, at midnight, they were unprepared. Have you ever thought about the midnight cry? We don't know when he's going to come again. But I better be prepared because he will come again. Why do I know he'll come again? He's the God of the comeback. He's going to come back, not to this earth, but to call us up for judgment. And I want to be ready to meet. The older I get, the more I see, I need to be ready to serve my Lord. And for those of you who are younger and who haven't thought about it, I want you to understand one important truth. Remember thy Creator in the days of your youth. There is no sin on this earth worth losing your soul over. I don't care how pleasurable it is. There's nothing worth missing heaven over. And you know what I would love to see? Some who have been failing God to make a comeback. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Oh, we ain't going to sit there and look down on you this morning if you come forward and said you've let God down. You know what we'll do? We'll rejoice because we've recognized we've let Him down too. And maybe you want prayers for strength in the new year and you desire that God will help you and that we will help you. There's no shame in coming forward and asking for that. And there's no shame if you've never been baptized to come and admit you need God in your life. All the comebacks you've witnessed that has thrilled you. The one that has thrilled me the most is when I see someone walk down that aisle and say, I have sinned and I want to make my life right with God. That's the comeback that means the most. If it makes the angels in heaven rejoice, well, I'll tell you what it does for this old man. It makes him rejoice as well. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.